And so this morning, Father, even as we look up to you, we ask that you bring us an eternal witness, that we strengthen the cords of conviction, that we impart upon us the grace to walk with you even through time. Our generation is treacherous. All forms of darkness, diverse installations of darkness, targeted as cutting of our souls from intimacy with you. But this morning, Father, even as your word comes, we ask that it will come with life. Life that will rejuvenate our walk with you and bring us to looking and gazing even at glory, that the essence of our existence may transcend time in meaning and relevance, but will have a place in eternity. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when we gather together like this, it's important for us to discern from an eternal perspective the reason why God summons a people. When a spirit calls for people, when a spirit makes a call for gathering like this, the purpose and the emphasis in the heart of that spirit transcends natural meaning. The emphasis for our gathering is beyond the people who wants just to worship God. There is a divine burden. We can keep it low. There's a divine burden and a divine strategy in the heart of the Father that we must discern in order to fuse into the eternal agenda of God. Because it's possible to walk through time and not have a place and a status and a stake with God. So when we come together like this, is to open up the oracles of God and to bring to our understanding, our memory and our consciousness again, that which is in the mind of God. And it is for this note and for this reason that the ecclesia was formed. I wanted to begin the teaching yesterday about the church, but the atmosphere was too charged, the hunger in the environment was too strong, and it was difficult for me to share. So this morning, in the next 30 minutes, I just want to share with us briefly what the church of Jesus is about. Because you are in a territory that is very volatile, and everything you do must have meaning. You cannot afford to do what you do for the pleasure of doing it. You know, if you are in a place like Lagos, you can come to church and dance and go home. If you are in a place like Abuja, where people sleep with their eyes closed, you can afford to come to church and enjoy a good worship song and go home. But if you are in Maiduguri, church must have a meaning. And every time you step out to associate with a people in a public sphere, it must sustain a meaning that is as important as the breath on your nostril. It must sustain a meaning that is so deep in your heart that life itself can resonate on. Else, you will be losing out greatly. Because every time you walk out to represent Jesus, your life is at risk. And if you don't know the meaning and the essence and the emphasis for which it is necessary and imperative for you to bear witness for Jesus, you may just waste your life. And you see, God is not so impressed with what a man does if he doesn't have a meaning that is deeper than time. This is why everything we do must sustain an eternal meaning. And this morning, I want to explain the church to us from an eternal perspective, so we will understand what it means whenever we step into a gathering of this magnitude. Are we together? Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? You know, when the earth was created, the earth was not part of the universes of God. Before earth and time was, God was. And before the civilization of the visible realm was enacted, there was a spirit realm where God lived with spirit beings. Some of them are called angels. Angels are simply high commissioners of God. They are messengers that administer the purposes of God and the policies of God in the spirit realm. And beyond the angels, there were other creatures in heaven. The Bible revealed to us the 24 elders. You know, we don't know their origin, but as far as the scales and the cadres of God was concerned, those ones were called elders. Now, eldership in Zion is not a function of age, because that realm is not governed by time. But the parameter by which they satisfied in order to become elders in the council of God was not revealed. So I wouldn't bother myself this morning. But apart from those hallowed creatures that were enthroned, cycling the throne of God, there were other creatures. The Bible called them the four beasts. And they say these four beasts, they have four faces. Now, these are strange creatures. If you look upon these creatures, you will faint. I tell you. They have four faces. He said the face of the lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, and the face of a man. And when Ezekiel was permitted to look upon their countenance and the way they walked, he said their mobility was as fast as the lightning. So when the four creatures want to move, they move at the speed of lightning. Now, all of these creatures were in the spirit realm, but God decided to step out of the spirit realm and to create another visible civilization called the earth. And when God created the earth, he decided to put you on eye. Now, when you look upon the earth structure that God created in Genesis chapter 1, everything was not consistent with heaven. The patterns of earth was a departure from the reality of heaven. The only dimension of earth that was consistent with the alignment order of heaven was a garden called Eden. So God put the man in that garden called Eden, and he gave him an assignment. The assignment that God gave the man that was in Eden was to advance Eden to a point where every part of the earth became like Eden, because Eden was like heaven. The reason is because the earth was a departure from heaven. So Eden was a doorway from heaven to earth. And the assignment of the man on earth is to cause every part of the earth to become like heaven. And that is the first revelation of the church. Because the church is a place of convergence where mortals meet with an immortal God. A church is a portal in the visible realm where we come to align with the heavens, so that the realities that are in heaven will become the same in our lives. So you can step into the church with evil contemplations in your heart. If the church carries the atmosphere of heaven, through that worship, something will happen. A synchronization will take place. So much so that the crystallization of the life of God that comes from Zion will precipitate into your soul. And that intention you came to church with will be watered down. And by the time you are leaving church, you will become a man of God. Not in the sense of a preacher, but you would have carried the nature and the DNA of the Father. That means you have come to church. Because that idea of church is to colonize the earth, so that the earth becomes an extension of heaven. So when we do church well, something will happen. Our families will become heaven on earth. Because the idea of the church is to create an intersection between earth and heaven. So much so that earth is colonized by heaven. And that is why when Jesus began to introduce the subject of the church in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 16 to 18, he began to teach us that in the context of the church, the authority of heaven is superimposed on the earth, so that which is of earth will become of heaven. And I began to share with us yesterday that because of the revelation of what the church is, this gathering is no longer Maiduguri. This gathering becomes an embassy of heaven. So when you stepped into this door, you left Maiduguri, you came into heaven, because the church is the opening of heaven to earth. And everybody who is granted access into the church, as he steps out, he becomes an ambassador of heaven on earth. So the first idea behind the church creation is to create an opportunity for colonization. And that is why the Greek word for church is ecclesia. You know, if you study history, and I know there are historians here because this is an academic environment, in the Roman system, because the Roman system was the first system that mirrored what the ecclesia is about. So when the Roman government wants to take over a territory, it doesn't need to go there. In the Babylonian system, they will go to your territory, subdue your army, and move everybody from your territory to their territory. That's how they make you become part of their territory. But in the Roman system, they don't travel to where you are to colonize you, to dominate you. They send an agent into your territory. And this agent comes to your territory, they change your culture, they change your lifestyle. So over time, you will discover that your territory will lose its original identity, and your territory becomes a mirror image of the Roman government. So the reason I'm wearing tie today is because Britain colonized Nigeria. So they don't need to come here with guns and arrows. But you see, my self-esteem is defined by my dressing like this. Meanwhile, my original ancestors don't need suit. They wear what they call bente. But you see, the influence of colonization have become so strong that if I wear bente now, I'll be ashamed. So what the British government have done is that they have colonized us. And that strategy of colonization is the ecclesia. So when God sends a church to a territory, the idea is not to gather people. The idea is to incorporate them with the lifestyle of heaven. So when you look upon that people, they become an expression of heaven. So the church is divine strategy for colonization. Now you see, you have not understood what the church is if you don't have an influence on your territory. I was sharing with them yesterday that our security is not in the government. Our security is not in the army. Our security is not in the security operatives that are around us. Thank God they are there. And the reason they are relevant is because our prayers manipulate them. If we stop praying, you will be amazed what the military will do. We actually manipulate their operation from the altar because their agenda is not what they show on the media. Their agenda is deeper than what they show on the media. But by prayer, we force them to act in a certain way. So our security is not with them. I was watching an interview with a journalist recently, and his brother was kidnapped. He met with the commissioner, he met with the governor, he spoke with one of the aides of the president. They did nothing. He had to pay a ransom for the person kidnapped to be released. That was when it dawned on him that everything happening on the media is just a show to make you feel something is happening. Nothing is happening. They are not moved. So we must find our confidence in something that is deeper than time. And that is where the church comes into full force. Because when you come into the church, you come into God's embassy. And when you are in God's embassy, the jealousy of God is invested for your safety. So God may not send an army to protect you with guns. But you see, when they set up a strategy to kidnap people here, as you step out, you are going, the Holy Ghost say, turn right. Now, that singular instruction the Holy Ghost gave you is stronger than the strategy of a military battalion. So you don't go. You see, when you are going the wrong way, you hear a voice from behind you that this is not the path to go. What is happening is that the infrastructure of the church is beginning to open up her oracles. So you wake up in the morning, you are about to step out of your house, and he says, stay there. Don't go out. Meanwhile, you are in a rush. You needed to rush out of the house. He says, stay there. Because you are in the church, you have access to privileged information. And after 20 minutes, when you have the release to go out, you now hear that road you wanted to pass, they just killed 5 people there. You were supposed to be there, but you are an ambassador. And because you are an ambassador, you have access to privileged information. You know, most of you don't know that the reason you are still alive is because there is a jealousy of God invested over your life. You may not be aware, but when you ascend to heaven, God will now show you, that day you wanted to go to the market, I stopped you, you would have been kidnapped. And then you now say, what is going on? You are a citizen of Zion. The church becomes God's strategy, not just to protect and preserve you, but it becomes God's strategy of empowering you to colonize your world. And beyond protection, a point now comes, you are sleeping in your room, and then an angel steps into your room and taps you by 1 a.m. Meanwhile, you went home tired from work. He said, pray in the Holy Ghost. And then you woke up, you wanted to pray, you were looking for prayer point. There was no prayer point. And he just said, pray in the Holy Ghost. Meanwhile, that time you are praying, you don't know what is happening. The angel that tapped you tapped 20 other people. Because there's a quorum that needed to be created in that territory to stop the activity of darkness. You thought you were alone. You don't know that the church is immortal. The shape of the church is celestial. You thought you were praying by your bedside. When God opens your eyes and you see the heavens, you now discover that you are part of an assembly. Because that time you came as a member. The same way the Senate gathers in Abuja. See, don't be moved by earthly things. If you go to the Senate, go there because you are a representative of Zion. Don't pride yourself and say, I'm a senator. No, it has no value. Unless you are doing something that touches heaven. Because some of us may not go to the Senate, and I'm not saying it's wrong, because we need many more people in the Senate. We need many more people in government, because the church needs the voice there. However, that time you are 20 years old, you woke up by your bedside, and God said, pray in the Holy Ghost. That 20 minutes God told you to pray in the Holy Ghost, that's when you are making your own statement in the plenary session of heaven. Because if God opens your eyes, you will discover that the 24 elders were there. You will discover that beyond your generation, even Elijah and Moses are still part of that assembly. That was what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he went to pray, suddenly the Bible said, Moses and Elijah appeared. And they began to talk to him about the things that he must do. There is a witness that Jesus needs to bring to the earth. There was a Senate that was assembled. So when you rise up to pray, it is not a religious activity at all. You are bringing legislation to a territory. Sometimes God wants to anoint somebody, but the person is not ready. And he doesn't even know that he's supposed to be a voice in that territory. God now goes and touches three people. Meanwhile, this woman is not educated, but she's a prayer warrior. And you will think that woman is not relevant in the church. You don't know the church. The church is a divine potter. That woman that is not educated, that is irrelevant, she will be the one God will go to and say, pray now. And when the woman begins to pray, that guy may be in the club. The anointing of God will come on him. And the reason a great evangelist will rise to take Maiduguri is because an illiterate woman was praying somewhere in the backside of the desert. And then all of a sudden a voice rises and God begins to change the territory. You will not know who that woman is until you go to heaven. And when you go to heaven, you are thinking the bishops will be celebrated. And God now says, come up, my daughter. You were the one that satisfied the claims of divine justice in order for administration and government to be brought to a territory. The church is divine strategy for territorial colonization. And this is why the church is shrouded with a lot of mysteries. Some of us may be here. We think we are not relevant. You don't need to be on the pulpit to be a relevant entity in the church. The church is immortal. The shape of the church is divine. So the first way the church operates as a witness to eternity is by the principle of unity. This is why it's an error for us to fight ourselves. This is why it's an error for us to contend with ourselves. This is why it's an error for us to jealous ourselves. Because what you don't know is that the guy may be doing something with a name that is not tied to your own in time, but in the spirit you are brothers. So the way Jesus enacted the church and gave it authority, he said, wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. So the first requirement of the church is unity, the force of oneness. If we cannot be together, if we cannot be one, even though we are God's agency of colonization, we will be weak on the face of the earth. And then you'll be wondering, why is the church under attack? Why is the church under attack, rather? The church is under attack because the church is not one. The terrorists are not powerful. The church have only lost and given away their advantage. The day the church becomes one, the church becomes invincible. The invincible dimension of the church is tied to her unity. The church in Maiduguri must become one to be able to bring witness to this territory. Daddy was telling me yesterday how that many preachers refuse coming towards Maiduguri. It is easier to do ministry in Port Harcourt, in Lagos and Abuja. It looks as if when you are coming to Maiduguri, you are coming to accept a death sentence. But it's not so. If only the church knew what she represents on the earth, we can walk into the camp of the enemy and they will drop their guns. They won't know what they are doing. It will be by mystical operation. You will be led to places where angels fear to tread. But the reason is because wherever two or three are gathered, it's not only angels that are there. The monarch himself said, I am there in the midst of them. Why will God be in the midst of the people and they are powerless? It's because they are divided. In Genesis chapter 11, the Bible gave us a strategy. What weakens an institution is division. He said, these people, what they have preconditioned in their mind to do, he said, nothing can stop them. Now, the person talking is not a man, it's God. So God himself was saying, so long as there is a united front, even God can't stop it. And if God cannot stop a united front, who is a terrorist to stop it? So the reason it looks as if we are weak is because we don't discern the Lord's body. And Paul began to speak to us in Acts chapter 11 from verse 35. He said, for this reason, many are weak. He said, many sleep. That means many die because they have not discerned the Lord's body. They have not discerned the Lord's body. So the person that should speak over your life to shift you is the one you speak against. And then you say, no. Oh, all of us are worshiping Jesus. You are not wise. Jesus appeared to Saul. And Jesus told Saul, he said, go to the city. You'll be told what you should do. And Saul had to leave Jesus and go to meet Ananias. How can a man meet Jesus and go to meet another man? Jesus was teaching Paul the mystical power of the church. That the reason the church is invincible is because the church is one. So both Jesus and every member of the church forms a divine cycle that the world cannot break into. That was why Paul had an encounter with Jesus in glory, and Jesus directed Paul to a man. Meanwhile, we have arrogant people saying, I don't need a man. I need God. Only God. When you talk about people, sometimes they say you are exhorting men. You don't know the church. There is one man God will raise in Maiduguri, and terrorism will stop. But the problem is, when that man is about to rise, the church will fight that man. And so long as that man is fought, the church will be a slave. When the church is supposed to be God's agency of transformation, God's agency of colonization. So our power is not outside. Our power is within us. But we have not discerned it. That woman you think is an illiterate, you don't know what her prayer is doing for the church. That brother you think is a little boy, you don't know what his prayer is doing for the church. The first authority the church has is an understanding of our interdependence on one another. That's why Paul did a teaching on the body. He said, though we are many parts, we are one. If you fight the prophet, you have weakened the church. Because the voice of the prophet is a trigger for advancing the church forward. You think the teacher is the one the church needs. The teacher is edifying the church, but the prophet carries a trigger. When he speaks, the church moves forward. When the prophet talks, the power of God is released. But the church has taken an orientation of fighting prophets. So the moment somebody says, I'm a prophet, everybody begins to move back. Meanwhile, part of the help that the church has is invested in the prophet. Somebody comes and says, an intercessor. And the church looks at him as if, why are you wasting your life? Because we have taught the gospel now to be materialism. So the moment somebody doesn't have a car, the moment somebody is not making progress in the natural, you call him a waste. Meanwhile, you don't know the reason you are able to sleep in your house is because an intercessor is praying. The day that intercessor stops praying, you will not be able to go to work. This is how the church was designed. Our power is in our unity. So nobody is irrelevant. Everybody is equally relevant. But we have to discern ourselves and relate with ourselves, because in ourselves lieth our advantage. This is why we gather together. We gather together because we want to generate corporate strength to be able to take our territory. If we don't gather like this to draw strength from ourselves, it will look as if the terrorists are powerful. And many people begin to run from our borders. Meanwhile, the solution is not in running away. The solution is in standing together. If we can stand together, there is no force we cannot bring down. When the church began in Palestine, they were weak, they were vulnerable. They didn't have representatives in the government. They didn't have representatives in the market, but they had unity. And so long as they could pray, the hand of God was upon them. The Bible said daily, they gathered together in one accord from house to house, and they broke bread. They had no representative in government. They were hunting them with guns. Their case is even worse than Maiduguri today. When they catch you, they slaughter you. I heard a story of Perpetua and Felicity. This woman was an evangelist, but she was pregnant with her slave Felicity. And they told her, when they arrested her, they told her, renounce Jesus or you will be killed. And the woman, a pregnant woman in pain, had so much conviction she was able to withstand it. And then they said, the child is innocent. It's against the Roman law to kill the innocent child. So they kept her until she delivered. 3 days after she was delivered of her baby, they now took them to the arena. Because then, they don't keep people in the secret. They don't keep people in the forest. They bring you to the arena. So that when others see what happens to you, they will become afraid. And they will take dressing. And they opened up the gate for wild beasts. And they tore them apart. To send a message to others that if you dare associate with these people, you are finished. If you were in that society, you wouldn't have the guts to call yourself a Christian. Unless you know that your essence and meaning is beyond time. You didn't come here to survive. You came here to bring a witness of God from the heavens to the earth. Because you understand that you are a pilgrim on the face of the earth. You are only an ambassador sent to the world to represent the interest of your master. And this is why in the early church, they don't celebrate birthdays. You will never hear the birthday of any great figure in the church. They only celebrated their death days. because how you left here matters. It is a testimony of the quality of witness that you brought to the earth realm. I'm telling you this because you are in a volatile territory. It may look as if the most strategic thing to do is to run away. The church here needs you. They need you to hold your hands together because you may be the eye, you may be the voice, you may be the confidence of the church. When you go, you deplete the number. These guys don't run. The more they accept it, the more they hold themselves. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4, they caught Peter and John. They threatened them and beat them never to preach in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said something in verse 28. It said they returned to their company. They returned to their company. They didn't run from the city and say, "Ah, oh boy, we go die here." They returned to their company. And he said they lifted up their voices and they prayed. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. And the place where they are was shaking. Our strength is in our unity. Never find yourself fighting a brother. Never find yourself castigating a brother. When you do that, you weaken your corporate strength. The reason houses are attacked, people are abducted, is because there is a loophole in our rank. If we merge the loopholes, they will come to your house, you'll be sleeping, they won't see you. Because the strength of one becomes the strength of all. They will look at you, people will be driving, they won't see your car. And they won't know why. The supernatural will become commonplace. Because the only way you can get one is when you get all. Because all of us have become a corporate persona in the spirit. The reason we are vulnerable is because we are divided. And Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name. He wanted to give them the Holy Spirit. He said, tarry in Jerusalem. And the Bible said, they were together in one accord. So long as we are one, the day we divide, we become weak. That day you will hear of deaths, you will hear of rape, you will hear of abductions. The reason it looks as if we are weak is because we are divided. One man talking against another pastor, another one talking against another church. When a brother falls, the only thing you owe him is prayer. Because the idea is not to weaken the army, the soldier that is wounded. The idea is to strengthen him and to raise him up. Because there is no testimony in the fall of one. There is only a testimony in the rise. Because they say when a righteous man falls seven times he shall rise again. But we have a church where we are setting traps for ourselves. We are interested in people falling. And when somebody fails, you will see 90,000 shares on the internet. Most of the people sharing it are Christian. Nobody goes on her knees and say, how can this one fall? Nobody. So we are divided. And so long as we are divided, we are weak. That's why the terror continues to grow. But today, God wants to do a mending work. That the church will come together again in unity. Oh, in Psalm 133 from verse 1 to 3, he said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. He said, it's like the ointment on the head of Aaron that runs down his beard, even unto his skirt. He said, it's like the dew upon Mount Hermon. There, the Lord commanded his blessing. The power of the anointing cannot be seen in a territory until the church is one. The reason what happens on the head of Aaron will happen on the skirt is because brethren dwell together in harmony. If we don't know that we are a witness to this territory, we'll think it's about church gathering. And on Sunday morning, we dress well and come to church, listen to another sermon, and then we go back. And the moment we are stepping out, we are divided. In the early church, the Bible said there was none among them that lacked. Why was it so? It said those that had possession sold it and brought it to the feet of the apostles, and there was an even distribution. Everybody was carried along. How do you think they could be destroyed? It was not possible. Even though they were chasing them with guns, bows, and arrows, they were invincible. And a point came, the Bible said, the whole city went to them. The whole of Maiduguri can gather here if the church can master the principle of oneness. If the church can become one, the whole of this city can gather here. Because that was how the apostles did it. And their life is a pattern for all of us. that the only way we can become invincible in eternity is when we become one. Sometimes we pray to God and it looks as if our God is powerless. Sometimes we pray, it looks as if answers are not coming. The answers are already there, but the answers are invested in men. The intervention we are looking for is invested in men already. That was what God taught Paul. Don't look up to me. There is a man called Ananias. That man can raise the greatest apostles. He is in the church. When Paul needed to become popular in order to preach the gospel of grace, it was not Jesus that met him. It was a man called Barnabas. And Barnabas took Paul to the company of the apostles. And from there, Paul was validated. So from level to level, you discover every solution the church is looking for. There is an individual that embodies that solution. Because we are not ordinary men. We are gates into the realm of God. And until we begin to discern ourselves and honor ourselves and esteem ourselves over ourselves, we cannot sustain the requisite power and invincibility to take a territory. This is why you look at the church today, it reduces to individual giants and individual systems. But if we remain individual giants and individual systems, the enemy will still prevail. The only way we can shift the enemy backward is for us to become one. So one that the enemy will have no access. And this job begins with you. When next you hear somebody made a mistake, don't castigate. Pray for the person. If you have not prayed for a man, you have no right to talk against him. You know, when we come for services, sometimes people want power to move, they want impartations. But our greatest power is resident in our midst. If only we can hold hands together and be one, you will be amazed what we can achieve. And this is why what God wants to do is not to raise superstars, is to raise an army. And the Bible said, they will not break their ranks. They will not break their ranks. Everything God did for me, He did for me through men. Everything. I had an encounter with Jesus as a young boy. But for many years, I was nothing. When I met Pastor Chris Oyakhilome, I honored the grace upon the man. And somehow, an oil began to flow through my life. I pray for the sick. I know I don't have faith. And they are healed. Because I encountered somebody. When I met Bishop David Oyedepo, the scriptures came alive. I could quote 50 scriptures in a moment. And then when I look at a scripture, I see what ordinary people don't see. Because that investment is not in heaven. It's in a man called Oyedepo. When I met Apostle Arome Osai, I couldn't go out to preach. Who cares about you? But all of a sudden, people hear one message and it goes viral. And they say, come here, come here, come here. What is happening? I didn't do publicity anywhere. That grace for influence was invested in a man. And as I discerned this man, these things kept flowing. I met Andrew Womack and I read his book and I started following him. And all of a sudden, I saw that the life of God became strong in my spirit. As I'm talking now, if I want the power of God to start moving now, it will happen now. Now. I don't need to prepare for it. The moment I say it, the energy of God rises in my spirit and it goes forth. How did I encounter it? I touched it from a man called Andrew Womack. He carried so much of eternal life. So much of eternal life was invested in him. Imagine what people carry in the body of Christ that we have not discerned. Even Jesus' teaching, he said, be careful to receive men, because some of them are angels, and some of the men you despise, they are the angels that carry your solution. The Bible said in Genesis 18 that Abraham sat at the door of Mamre and he saw three men. They were walking towards Sodom and he stopped them. He said, sirs, please come in and take water. What does that mean? All of a sudden, barrenness that had been there for many years. Men. He saw men. But those men were God. And all of a sudden, he looked at him and said, in another time of life, I will visit again and Sarah, your wife, shall be with child. Abraham had many altars In Genesis chapter 12 verse 6, Abraham raised an altar in Bethel. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 7, Abraham raised an altar in Ai. In Genesis chapter 13 verse 18, Abraham had altar. Abraham had altars everywhere, but he couldn't cure barrenness until he discerned three men, and the men walked up to him in another time of life. What many altars could not achieve, because Abraham discerned somebody, it was done effortlessly. Even Sarah did not believe, but her unbelief was no longer strong to change the verdict. What is it you have lost because you have refused to discern who carries it? This is the power of the church. Many people think it's an error to talk about men. They say you are exhorting men. Men have met Jesus and he referred them to men. Jesus referred Paul to Ananias. An angel appeared to Cornelius. An angel. And the angel could not do anything. He said, go and look for a man called Peter. Because the whole investment of God is in the church. This is why God sends us to all the world. Do you think God is insensitive? God knows that some part of the world, they are terrorists. He knows some part of the world, there is sickness. How does he still send us to all the world? Because everything we need is with us. We have something that is superior to AK-47. We have something that is superior to HIV/AIDS. It's in the unity of the saints. Because when the saints come together, the glory of God descends. He said the shout of the king is in their midst. There is something we carry. Did you study Israel's life? They were walking from city to city. And he said there was a verdict hanging on their head. He said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. Everyone here carries the Holy Ghost. That's the anointing of God. Why are we done harm? Because we are not one. And when we are not one, we are vulnerable. Your security is not in your wisdom. It's not in the big gate around your house. It's not in your connection to the presidency. It is in the unity of the saints. That's why we must labor and learn to co-inhere with one another. This is the foundation of the authority of the church. You know, it's such a beautiful thing what unity does. A friend of mine who is a major in the army, he came to me and knelt down and said, man of God, pray for me. I want to be protected. I said, what do you mean? You are a commander in the army. The guy understands that he is protecting me for me to protect him. That's the power of unity. Because there can be a manipulation in the office. They will send him to the fiercest part of the war. And they will reduce his reinforcement. And they will become vulnerable. Many times, they found themselves behind enemy lines. What saved them, they don't know. Because there's an invincible finger that followed them to the battlefield. That's why I say vain is a man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. There is something we carry. It's beyond time. And when we begin to master it, that's when we become agents of colonization. When we have not known it, we will need it to protect us. But when we master it, in Acts 15, 26, the Bible said, Paul and Barnabas, he said, these be the men that hazarded their lives for the gospel. Those ones have mastered this thing. So they are not trying to be protected anymore. They could afford to take risk. And when they come to a place where men die, they stand and say, hallelujah. What is the secret? They have mastered it. So they know that even though they are one man, they fight with the strength of many. So you may look at me, you assume, hey, how dare you? I am not one man. I came with an entourage. And you know, the unity of the saints is not time-based. The unity of the saints is eternal. Because he said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. So you can move from here now and you enter eternity, and Moses comes there with you. And whatever it is that Moses carried that made Pharaoh afraid of him, that same thing begins to speak for you. And then you stand before the Seraki, and then they say, the last 10 people that came here, they killed them. You are part of the unity of the body. So when you came, what Moses carried that made Pharaoh not to think of killing him, that thing begins to work with you. That's how the church functions. We are immortal in shape. We are not weak. We are the solution of the world. That's why I say you are the light of the world. Jesus doesn't psych men. When he tells you it is A, it is A. He says you are a city set upon the hill that cannot be healed. And he says saviors shall come out from Mount Zion. We are the saviors of the world. But our power begins with our unity. Who is that person you have fought? Who is that person you have castigated that have made you vulnerable? Who is that person you have spoken against that have made your prayers impotent in the realm of God? Because you can't fight for the body and enjoy the resources of the body. So when your voice goes to the court of heaven, they say you are an accuser of the brethren. You have taken the ministry of the devil. And the things that should be your advantage, you can no longer harness them. There is so much disunity in the body of Christ. This is why we are weak. This is why we are vulnerable. And this is why many among us die. Nobody is permitted to be a victim in the church. If the church will function in its original design, nobody. Because in the beginning, it was not so. Most of us here are young people. Don't use your tongue to destroy your future. The only thing you owe your brother is love and prayer. Don't destroy your future. The church is an immortal system. You don't know it. You don't know it. We are gathered here today, but in the spirit, we are connected as one all over the world. We are deeper than we look. We are aware of divine mysteries. And that's why the devil has been helpless about the church for many centuries. There was a time when it looks as if the church could be kicked out of civilization. The smaller they became, the stronger. And then you are wondering, you say, when they were big, we thought we couldn't conquer, we could conquer them. Now they are small. How come? Because when we even become smaller, our unity becomes stronger. There's no basis for us to be weak. And if we will be united, even in Meduguri, we will not only be protected, but we will become an agency of colonization. And from among us, terrorists will come and drop their guns and surrender to Jesus. Leaders, senators, will come and surrender to Jesus. It looks impossible because we are judging by fact. When you look at your immortal shape, you will discover with men, it may be impossible, not with God. Our strength begins with our discerning of ourselves. Do I still have time? You know, it's a body. Let me give myself 5 more minutes. So that in 5 minutes, I can ascend. So the first thing you need to know is to know that you carry something. You look ordinary, but you are not ordinary. Your ordinary look is a disguise. Because what you carry, if it were to manifest, it will become a distraction. That's why God clothed us with flesh. The way man was architectured was such that God did not, you know, when God created the angels, he used precious stones to cover them. So if you study Ezekiel 28 from verse 13, the Bible was giving us the credentials of Lucifer. And he said, Lucifer's covering was diamond, jasper, sapphire. When God wanted to create man, he didn't use precious stones, because nothing was enough to create man. God had hit the zenith of creation, because creation began from the spirit realm. The architectural masterpiece of the divine had already been deployed. So the only thing God could do was to enter himself again. And God sought for fresh wisdom. And the Bible said, and God said. Now, that testimony was a verdict from the community of the Godhead. The Father had brainstormed with the Son. The Son had brainstormed with the Holy Spirit. So what you heard God said was actually the corporate voice of the Godhead. We have stumbled on another wisdom that is locked in God. And he said, let us make man. We have made angels before. And some angels are beings of fire. There are certain angels that when they appear, you see a furnace, they burn like fire. There are certain angels that are clothed with light. When they show up, they are brighter than the sun. There are certain angels that were created for size. So if they put one of their steps, they can cover the whole ocean, the whole sea, and their head will be in heaven. Because the wisdom that entered into their creation was invested upon size. So the Bible said in Revelation 19 that an angel stood and covered the sun. An angel, he stood on earth and he shielded the sun. You looked at heaven, you didn't see the sun anymore. And he said, when that angel cried, every bird in heaven died. The weight that the angel carried. When the angel cried, he said, a third of every bird in heaven died. That's the magnitude. So the glory of that angel is his size. So when that angel said, oh, this building will, there will be an earthquake. So if you want earthquake, the angel needs to just appear. When he said, oh, the earth will break. Because the glory of that angel is his size. There are certain angels that their glory is fire. There are certain angels that their glory is light. So God had exhausted wisdom for creation. God had to enter God again. Because God actually dwells in God. Meanwhile, I don't have time to talk about it. That God is not in heaven. It is only his dimension that is in heaven so that the angels can interact with him. Because if God enters heaven, heaven becomes bigger than God. Meanwhile, in him, all things consist. So even heaven is in God. So God entered himself and he said, let us make man. And when they wanted to make man, they checked, light has already been used. Fire has already been used. Size has already been considered. Sound has already been used. There was nothing else in creation. So the only thing that doesn't deplete in essence was God himself. So God took God. And when he fetched God, he hid God in dust. And the God that was hid in dust, he called him man. So the reason you have flesh is because the day flesh is removed, what people will see as man is God. So in order for creation not to begin to worship you, God had to hide you. So every one of us here carries something. And what you carry is equal to God. Because you were created in his image and in his likeness. That's why, to which of the angels did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you? No angel is of his image and of his likeness. Only man is of his image. So when we gather like this, we are actually a collection of gods in bodies. And then they tell you that you are vulnerable. You can't. You have not discerned the Lord's body. So none of us here is small. None of us is weak. Every one of us is an errand to our generation. There's a solution you brought. That's why you came. If you didn't carry a solution, you wouldn't have been necessary. You came because you are part of the solution that your generation needs. This building is standing because every block is in place. There are certain blocks in this building. If they are removed, the building becomes useless. There are certain parts of this building, if you remove it, we will no longer sit comfortably, because their job is to shield the sun and to shield the rain. There are others that bring protection. There are others that bring stamina and solidity to the building. Every block is playing a role. Every block that does not have a role in this building was thrown away. A block is only permitted to be a part of this building if it has a role. So yourself would have been thrown away if you were not useful for your generation. The reason you were co-opted is because you have a solution that only you can provide. So the first place of discernment is yourself. When you know you carry something, you become conscious that you are not just coming to church to dance. The church service was complete because you came. So nobody will need to persuade you to come. The building cannot be complete until you are there. And then secondly, when you know you carry something, you now know every other person carries something. The reason you can easily despise others is because you have despised yourself first. If you know you carry something, you become careful with the next person because you know that person carries something you don't carry. And when we begin to discern ourselves that every one of us carries something, then we begin to appreciate ourselves. Because unity is not cloning. It's the ability for diversity to exist as one. That's the intelligence behind the university. The history department have no connection with the engineering department, so to speak. But if the history department comes together with the engineering department, you have something called a university. Because diversity can exist in perfect harmony in unison. And then it becomes an institution that can raise seeds that will change a generation. So today, when you say, this man is an engineer, you are actually making a reference to a university. When you say, this man is a historian, you are making reference to a university. So the university becomes the mother of civilization. That's what the church represents. We become the mother of solution to our world. Because everybody that goes out with the dimension of God. And this morning, I want to pray for somebody. First, you may be a woman, you are not educated. You may be a young man, you are too young. And then you think it's when you are 40 years that you will change your world. What you carry is spiritual. It doesn't have regard for time. That's why it's out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength. You can be 12 years old, you will address kings. At the age of 12, Jesus was addressing the doctors of the law. Because the wisdom he carries is spiritual, it's not earthly. You are thinking, oh, it's when you leave Maiduguri that something will happen. It's a lie. You even have a greater advantage in this territory. There are so many other territories you will go to. It will be difficult to even pray. Because worldliness have choked the souls of men. As you are waking up in the morning, you look around, every girl is dressed naked. When we entered your city, my friend said, Kai. He said, Kai, can you imagine there is no girl indecently dressed anywhere around? He said, imagine the extent to which Islam had gone in shaping the ideology, the philosophy of this civilization. And then you go to regions that you call Christian states, and then the first gaze in society is wantonness. If you go to some of those places, your prayer life will die. Some of you are praying today because the reason you are alive is your prayer. You are used to bullets and bombs. So because of the sound of bullets, you can't even sleep at night again. So because you are always awake, you convert it to prayer time. Meanwhile, when you go to Lagos, where even the back of your house is a club. So when you go to the room, you will just sleep with the club music till morning. It's the ray of the sun that will wake you up. Not in Maiduguri. In Maiduguri, if needle falls from the table in the night, you will wake up and say, what is that? Because your consciousness is heightened. Now, with that heightened consciousness, you can easily convert to prayer. So you are thinking, it's when you go to Lagos, when you go to Abuja, you do ministry, you will be shocked that you go to Abuja for 1 week, you have slept for close to 160 hours out of the 168 hours. And then when you step out, you say, let's survey the city. And as you are surveying the city, you see a fair damsel that's like a goddess. And then you say, hello. And then you will follow that hello for 4 months. But when you will wake up, you are 48 years old. And then you ask God, Lord, where did we stop? God will say, it's when you were 25. We stopped when you were 25. No territory is an advantage or a disadvantage. It is what you make out of it.
And your place may look volatile. Your place may look evil. But it's a healthy ground to nurture spiritual things. And so this morning, I will pray for somebody to be quickened in the spirit to discern what he carries. And when you discern what you carry, the investment of grace will come upon you this morning to begin to service it. Because some of you, as I pray for you, God will take you back to when you were 10 years old and you were seeing visions. And then you will know that in your spirit is the investment of a prophet. And so that prayer will provoke a grace to service that oil. Because for you to service that sight, it may be prayer, it may be sound, it may be anything. The grace to keep the atmosphere that services that grace will rest upon you. And then you will live here, and all of a sudden you will begin to explore that dimension of God that you carry. Some of you, is the dimension of sound. When it's 4 p.m. in the evening, you begin to hear sound. And it looks as if you could write any song. You don't know that those sounds are actually not good music. Those sounds are actually the summon for warriors. So when you begin to release those sounds, every warrior in the body of Christ, when they hear it, they begin to charge. I have a friend called Lawrence Oyo. When he begins to chant, in 5 minutes, everybody begins to run. Because the chant is not a song. It's an alarm to awaken warriors. So a point will come, you will discover you are in Maiduguri, but you are the one that decorates warriors. You see the way they do military ceremonials. When somebody is about to shift in rank, they do a ceremonial and then they dress him up. Your sound becomes a ceremonial service for decorating warriors. So every time you enter the studio and you make that chant you have been hearing for long that you didn't use, you don't know the body of Christ depend on it. But you must discern what you carry. And you must receive the grace to service it. Some of you, what is on your life is a grace for wealth. The moment you close your eye, you are thinking of what to do to generate money. But there have never been the opportunity to service that grace. But if you discern that the wealth of the body of Christ is resident with you, you will receive grace to exploit it. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You know, the glory of God will not be seen until the graces on our lives begin to manifest. The Bible said Jesus turned water to wine, and when they saw it, they said the glory of God was revealed. We will only tell people we are Christians and they will have no regard unless there is something we carry that is not of earth. Some of you will step into a realm of wisdom. When you talk, people will know that you didn't read it. A spirit whispered to you. Some of you, oil will come on your hand. You will touch the sick, they will recover. And it may look as if Christianity is not relevant until the king of this city falls sick. And they try everything, it doesn't work. Then they will come back to you at night and say, please, the Seriki is dying. Come and touch your hand on him to wake up. And from that day, there will be peace in the land. Not because somebody stood with megaphone on the road and said, repent or you will die. No, somebody with a healing finger touched the king. And the day he touched the king, the city was won over. There are certain cities that are not won by preaching. They are won by the miraculous. When you minister to the right person, the person will alter the city. The reason Christianity enjoyed rest in Palestine was because Constantine was won. We carry too much to be victims. We carry too much. It's a taboo for us to be victims. It cannot be explained in spiritual context that Christians are victims. The angels can't understand it. There are some of you here that the angels that walk with you are warriors. If you will know how to relate with them, you can unleash one angel and it can scatter the camp of the enemy. Because of the resources and the investment we have, is you can't understand why Christians can be vulnerable. We only need to tap. Meanwhile, I only explained one. There are several. The unity of the faith is the first. Pray in the Holy Ghost now. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep, cry out.
Don't worry.
You reign. Before I pray for everybody, I want to ask the Lord to release two graces on few of you here. Some of you will receive the grace for speed. What took others many years to do, in a short period of time, you will do it. And then some of you will receive authority in the Spirit. And this authority will come in the form of wisdom. You will know and do things that will make your generation have no choice but to look for you. Even if they don't like you, it doesn't matter. You will carry something that will make your generation have no choice but to look for you. And so from the front here to the back, everybody here who is a graduating student, I stretch my hands in your direction. Let that grace
You know, some of you, the grace will come on you like fire. It will hit you where you are standing, because it will re-engineer you. And so in the name of Jesus, I release that grace upon you. Touch! It's happening from the back. I release that grace upon you. Touch! Hallelujah. 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 Stop praying. From the back, an angel is walking through you. From the back. And there are three of you coming under the influence of speed now. You may not know anybody, don't worry. It's the hand of God. There are three of you. There are three of you. In the name of Jesus, I activate you. 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 Holy Ghost, touch! You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh Shadow. There's one of you, your leg will be set on fire, because God is shifting you forward. God is shifting you forward. As I speak now, the angel will begin to minister to you. You can't stand where you are. You can't stand. Please help that brother in white so he doesn't enjoy himself. Somebody's eyes opening in the spirit. Your eyes are opening in the spirit. You begin to see strategies. You receive wisdom and strategy. I know you have studied physics, you have studied chemistry. I know you have studied philosophy. But I bring you a grace by the Spirit of the living God beyond what you have studied. In the name of Jesus, that one receiving that grace, take it right now.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.